What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're on episode 76, and this episode is brought to you by Zalman, our friends over at Zalman. So if you go to thinkcomputers.org/Zalman, you can check out what they're offering right now. And with me on this wonderful Friday, I would say it's wonderful. I've had a wonderful Friday.
It is, dude. I can't think of a day where it's been as nice in a long time.
It is so nice out. It's like the good nice. It's like, no, because it's not super humid. It's like the perfect temperature.
It's been like the mid 70s, no humidity, and perfectly sunny all day here.
Yeah. But that is Derek, everybody.
Yeah.
That's why we're in such a good mood, because it is so nice out. I was already out today for a little bit doing some stuff, and I will probably be going out later. But we're inside doing the podcast for you guys, and we'll just jump right in, because I know Derek wants to get out of here and get outside, and I know I do too. So we'll start with reviews this week, and we had three products, one of which I'm incredibly impressed with once again. It is the Cooler Master Master Case Pro 3, and they came out with the Master Case 5, the Master Case Pro 5, I believe, and then one other Master Case 5. I think they had three of them. And the Pro 3 they just came out with, and that is the micro ATX version of those cases that were already out. Pretty much identical, except for it's a little bit smaller. So if you are looking to build a pretty high-end micro ATX case or even mini ITX system, this case is just so well done. And one thing that I really pointed out in my Master Case 5 review was that the high quality of the Cooler Master, just the materials, like the steel, you know when you review cases and the steel is just crappy and it's just not well done, and it's just, you can tell when you pick up this case it's a quality case. All of the parts on this for the most part are steel. It's in the steel is really high quality. It's just one of those things that when I first reviewed the Master Case 5 last year, I was super impressed, and they brought that with this case as well. It's just a great case. It's super easy to build, and they pretty much have thought of anything. They have a modular system inside, so you can move parts around. You can pretty much take everything out. If you want to make a ton of room for water cooling, you can do that. If you have long graphics cards, no problem. Like, this case just does it all in the micro ATX form factor. It's just perfect case. I think I gave it a 10 out of 10, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it looks like a pretty solid case.
Yeah,
the modular thing is really cool again, of course.
Yeah,
I think it looks the best of them all in this form factor. I'm not a huge fan of the exterior design that they've gone with for this whole series, but in this size, I think I like it the best.
Yeah, it's just, the thing is with this series, they're not going for something super flashy or kind of out there. They're just, I think the word that describes this series and this case is just solid. It's just a solid case that I feel you're not going to have any issues with when you're building. I didn't experience any. I can't see somebody really having an issue with this as far as the build goes.
Feature rich and problem free.
Yeah, feature rich, problem free, made for builders. It's just that good. And one thing that's really cool is, like, there are sort of like handles on the top, and while there's plastic on the sort of outside of the handles are made of metal. That's a huge
thing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It has radiator mounts, so you can take them out, install your radiator outside of the case, and then put it back on. That makes building super easy as well. This is just pretty much one of the most, like I said, most solid cases I've reviewed all year. I really like it. I think Cooler Master has done a really great job with their Master Case series. And this is, like I said, if you're looking to build a mini ITX or micro ATX system, this is a case I can definitely recommend to you. It's just that good. And I don't say that about a lot of products. really, really great. I gave it a 10 out of 10 and our Editor's Choice Award. And we don't give that award out that often. So. Yeah.
What price range does that come in at?
It's $99.
Okay.
Yeah, it's $100.
Not too cheap, but not too expensive either.
Yeah. So it fits right in that kind of middle. It's not $150.
It was the right pricing for it?
Yes. Considering all of the features in it, the quality of the material, how easy it is to build in, I would easily pay $100 for this. And it's not in that lower range of the mini ITX, because if you're going mini ITX, I could see 69 for this case. But you know,
yeah,
it is just, it's just like, it's in the micro ATX, so you're, you know,
yeah.
You're, I mean, it's, you're, it deserves that price, no matter what. Yeah, it deserves that price. I would easily pay it, and like I said, the quality just speaks for itself. So,
yep,
super. Cool. I'm super pumped to do that review, actually. So, we'll move on to the next product, which is a really cool keyboard. And it's a keyboard that I'm still using, and that says a lot because I had been using the same keyboard for the longest time. And every time I would get a new keyboard into review, I would review it and then go back to the old one. I'm
a little surprised by that you're actually using this one still.
I'm not back to the old one. It is the Tesoro Gram Spectrum Gaming Keyboard, and they sent me the white one, which I have to say, the RGB backlighting on white is just sexy. It just looks awesome. Yeah. So one thing that's really cool about this keyboard, it is a low profile gaming keyboard. So the keys are actually the key caps are actually smaller. So it looks like one of those, just like a normal keyboard. It does not look like a gaming keyboard.
Right.
And it has the new switches that are from Kale that are made to compete against Cherry MX's new rapid fire switch.
Oh, okay.
So what they actually, it's a shorter distance. It's a shorter firing distance and everything like that. So,
yeah. You
know, if you are really serious about gaming, you're going to hit the key faster. It's just kind of, you know, that's the reason Cherry came out with them. And obviously Kale comes out with a switch that's similar because of that, but they do feel really nice. And it's nice to have that low profile feel on a gaming keyboard. You really don't see this a lot, and I really like it. It feels good, not only with gaming, but also with typing. It feels really good. I really like it. It's like,
yeah,
it's for me specifically, because I do a lot of typing with writing reviews. I feel it's the perfect keyboard for me.
Okay. The low, I like that it's low profile. That's a big deal to me.
Yeah, the low profile works really well for me, especially when it comes to typing. But it doesn't affect gaming all that much either, because, you know, when you are gaming, you want that standard mechanical keyboard with the larger keycaps and all that, and this doesn't have it.
Yeah.
But it has the smaller keycaps, and I do feel with gaming it does work quite well.
Okay, so you don't feel like your fingers are getting lost in the deck?
No, not at all. Okay. Very high quality, very heavy keyboard. That's one thing you want to look at when it comes to these keyboards. It's just really, really good. Like I said, fully RGB backlit, so you can do the cool rainbow stuff. I actually put a video on YouTube that you guys can check out that has all the different lighting modes. You can do a lot of cool stuff with it. It's per key illumination, so you can easily, you know, make your own design and do all that kind of stuff. It's all in the software. Five different gaming profiles, so if you profile for a specific game, you can easily change it, and that's all saved on the keyboard as well. Fully reprogrammable, so you can change all of the keys to whatever you want them to do. It's just, like I said, it has everything that you would want, you know what I mean?
I feel like that's kind of a must-have feature.
Yes.
Everything is RGB. Everything is, right? Or has an option, so you're going to have that fully reprogrammable function.
Yeah. So when it comes to the gaming keyboards, is you want RGB backlit, obviously, and fully reprogrammable. And this keyboard has it. It's high quality. It does have the detachable USB cable as well, which I like, which means mm-hmm. I can put all my cables in one bag and I can put my keyboard in another bag. I like that.
Super clean.
Yeah, so I like that. And it is white. They do offer it in black. I would prefer the white. No price difference either, which is nice. A lot of times we see white products have a, you know, $10 premium. Same price. I believe it's $159, and I fully say that price is warranted for this product. So,
You think it's fully worth it?
Yes, it I have not tested a keyboard with the Cherry MX Rapid Fire, so I can't say. Yeah. But I really do like the way this feels. It's a heavy duty keyboard. It's one that I feel is going to last a very long time. It looks great. It feels great. So actually, it's $139. Sorry,
$139. That's a little better. It's hard to justify a high price when you're using a Kale switch.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yes. I definitely agree with that. Now, again, I haven't tested a Cherry MX Rapid Fire, so I can't tell you the difference.
Yeah.
But from going from any of the Kale normal switches or the Cherry MX normal switches, which I've tested both, I do like this faster sort of this faster switch. Is it it's just
better than the Kale Blue switch.
See, here's the thing. So these are the, hold on, I can't think of the name because I'm going through all this. They offer this in a red and a blue.
Oh, okay.
So I have the red version. I would really like the blue version because I'm a fan of the blue. I like that audible click a lot. Yeah.
So it's still, they offer the rapid fire, which is a shorter.
Yes. Shorter travel distance. Yeah, yes. So they offered in red and blue currently. Okay. And I got the red one, which is specifically more for gaming. The blue is for, it's like, again, perfect for me for typing and gaming. So I'm trying to get them to send me the blue version so I can really tell the difference. I love that audible click. I prefer blues
to reds as well.
Yeah, I do. Just it, the audible click. Reds are
too soft to me.
Yeah, and the audible click for me is just, I love that for whatever reason.
The only downside I find that is that the Kale switch doesn't have that. A Kale blue to me feels more like a cherry red.
Okay. So. Well, it'd be great. Like I said, I requested to get a blue version of this, so I could definitely tell you. So hopefully,
did you do much gaming with it?
Yeah, I played about 4 hours of gaming on
what
it.
What kind of games did you play? I'm just curious whether you felt like the travel distance actually had an effect.
Star Wars, Payday, mostly Star Wars and Payday. I do feel that it was just like faster and cleaner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just
right into it, just snappy.
Yeah, it just felt kind of snappy and it felt nicer. You know, I had been playing on using a Cherry MX Blue for like the past year, I think, or maybe longer. And I did like it. The low profile, I really like. And it, again, not just for gaming, but for typing, it's more comfortable for me. Maybe it's just that's the type of person that I am. But I really did like it.
When I get on a laptop keyboard, I feel like I can type faster.
Yeah, so that's kind of the feel that you have with this. Not as much like a laptop, but it's closer to a laptop than a normal. Yeah.
I think it's the actual keycaps themselves that make the difference.
Yeah. So a lot of the keyboards that have this or the Cherry switch have the full keycaps. So Tesoro is one of the only ones that offer this low profile keycap, which is nice.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So it's pretty cool. Yeah.
I really like this keyboard design without the backplate so that you can really, it illuminates a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like that a lot. Definitely check out.
One last question.
Yes.
Before we go on this one.
No, that's fine.
I know. How is the wear as far as, like, you've got a white keyboard, right?
Okay, so I've had it and I've been using it for 3 weeks. Solid. It's not all that dirty.
No.
You know what I mean? So
but
most
is 3 weeks
of the
too long to even be dirty at all?
I don't know.
Okay.
I definitely will. We can definitely follow up because I am going to be using this. I don't see myself not using it.
Yeah.
I'm using it as my main keyboard, which again says a lot because I don't normally do this. I switch them out every time I do a review of a keyboard. So
yeah.
I don't feel that it is going to get all that dirty, and if it does, I think wiping it down every, which you should do on your keyboard anyways, which not a lot of people do, but I, you know, they don't include anything to wipe it down, but every, you know, once a month wipe it down, you should be fine. You know, I don't see like I'm looking at it right now and I don't notice anything that's making it look bad.
Nice.
You know, so yeah, I definitely would recommend this. I gave it my recommended award. So definitely, if you're looking for something like this, definitely check it out and get the white one because it looks so much better with the RGB backlighting.
Gotcha. That so Tesoro, do I just know this brand from CES or do we know them? Like I recognize their little symbol, the little.
I reviewed their Excalibur Spectrum keyboard last year.
Okay, maybe that's where I'm thinking of.
Yeah. I think I still have that keyboard actually. But yeah, they do make good stuff. It's pretty high quality as well. They're not as well known because they're really big over in Europe, but they're not as big over here.
Okay, yep. I remember this now.
Yeah. So, that brings us over to a pretty cool product if you are a Warcraft fan, which I think you are. You went and saw the movie, I believe.
Yeah, I like the movie a lot.
Yeah.
I never played the game though.
That's so weird. So coming from somebody who's a computer person, and like you grow up, like I grew up playing like the original Warcraft, then Warcraft 2, then Warcraft 3, then World of Warcraft, you know?
So here's what happened. I didn't get into computer gaming early enough, and by the time I did, it just was so intimidating to try and play it. So I was like, I don't even want to. It's just too much. I don't want to suck that bad.
Yeah, I remember going over my friend's house who, like, had a computer because, like, I didn't have a computer, and we played, like, Warcraft.
Nice.
Like, we would sit there, single player, and play a game on a computer. Isn't that weird to say?
I used to do that with, like, console, though, because there's, like, single player games. You just, like, go to friends' houses, and, like, everyone would gather around and play the same game.
Yeah, so that's kind of, that's how I got into Warcraft. But we'll get back to the product. So I think it was like 2 weeks ago, we took a look at a Warcraft movie-themed mobile accessory from Swordfish, which kind of was pointless, and we kind of pointed that out. So this one is a lot more practical. It is a mobile power bank, which these are extremely popular, and for good reason, because our mobile devices just don't have enough power, especially if you're on them a lot. You do a lot of social media, you're chatting, you use your phone a lot.
If you're really using your phone for everything it can do, it does not last.
Yeah, your phone's not going to last more than a couple hours. It's just kind of how it is. So Swordfish, who made the other product, they also make power banks, and this one is the Alliance themed mobile power bank. So it actually it's kind of themed like the Alliance logo, which is pretty cool. And they offer it in the Alliance and Horde. We got the Alliance one, and it's cool. It looks like, if you're a Warcraft fan, you would definitely love this, I think. It looks really great. The actual lion head of the Alliance logo lights up when you're charging, which is cool.
Yeah, that's
You know, it just looks really cool. It works as it should. It has two outlets on it, so you have the 2.1 amp and the 1 amp, so you can charge a tablet and a smartphone at the same time. It is, I'm trying to find the capacity.
It's
6720 milliamp hours, so that is, I think, 3 plus charges on an iPhone 6.
Something like that.
Yeah, 6S or 6. So you shouldn't have any issue with that. It works really well. Again, if you're this isn't a product that I would say go out and get just if you need a mobile charger, because it's bigger than your typical mobile charger because they made it to look like a Warcraft thing. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you are a Warcraft fan, these are super cool and they look really cool. And it's something that you can display while you're not using it because it just looks that cool.
Yeah, and Warcraft fans are just going to love having, like, carrying it around.
Yeah, so it's super cool. It's from Swordfish. The price on it, I think, is $59.99, which is, I would say it's a little, maybe like a $10 premium over most mobile charge. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably about 10 bucks. Yeah, maybe a little more. It depends on, like, the quality of the battery and such.
But yeah, this is pretty high quality. It's made really well. And again, it is sort of, it is a collector's item. It's not just some some mobile charger, but it is small enough that it will fit in your pocket, but you will have kind of a bulge there. So for guys looking at this, if you plan to have something in your pocket, I would get a, you know, smaller one. But this, again, it's still pretty cool. I thought it was super cool, and it's cool that the logo actually lights up, which I liked.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah. So that was our reviews for the week, and that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And if you don't know, which you should know because we talk about it every week, is that Case Mod Friday is our section of the site where we feature a build or mod that's been completed in our community. And there's so many of these days because there's all these contests and there's these events where companies come out and they contract builders and modders to build them these awesome systems. And this one is, I would have to say, this is a pretty plain build, meaning that not a whole lot of modding went into it, but I just think it looks so clean, and it is very well done, and it's in one of my favorite cases, which is the Inwin 909, I believe, or the Inwin D-Frame, sorry. What did I say? I don't know why I said 909. it is the Inwin D-Frame. It is the ATX edition, which means they only made 500 of these cases, actually, and it's done by Phenom Design and Photography. We actually featured his first build a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he just did this one. And it's awesome. It's NVIDIA themed, obviously. It follows that color scheme pretty much to a T. Again, not a whole lot of modding. Like, the graphics cards aren't water cooled. The only thing that's water cooled is the CPU. But he just did a great job, I think.
Yeah, I would have liked to see it extend to the graphics cards, but this being an NVIDIA theme, he probably didn't want to take off the stock coolers.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, he's got some custom metalwork, and that's about it.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. Like, these builds, they're not all that hard to do. You know, yeah. Custom NVIDIA logo on the backside. But yeah, I think it's just a clean build. I'm a huge fan of the clean build. If you can put something together that's really clean, I like it.
It's definitely the way that modding has moved. It used to be build the biggest mass of tubing and like, get your quad SLI going. And
yeah,
we've definitely moved more to the, I would say, more mature side of modding.
Yes.
In recent times.
I'm a huge fan of the slick, clean build.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, if you see something crazy, we're going to feature it as well. But I thought this was super cool. And I do love the case, and I love the little exterior metalwork he did. I think that makes it even better. It's just clean. It's a clean build, you know. Matched the colors perfectly, I would say. So yeah.
It's cool that he replaced the acrylic, or not acrylic, it's tempered glass in these. The tempered glass panel side with the, it's just a, oh, what would you even call it? Like a frame with a piece down the middle. It's a piece of aluminum.
Yeah. It's just cool, like an outer frame kind of deal, yeah. He kind of did. And I do like that as well. So that's super cool. So yeah, definitely check that out. And as I always say, we have a full section of these. So if you're looking for inspiration or you're just seeing what's possible, maybe you're new to computers and you don't even know what modding is, definitely check out Case Mod Friday on the site because we have a ton of mods in there and it's just a cool thing to look through.
Definitely.
So it is news, and there are some interesting things this week. We'll start with AMD, and the one article that came out this week about AMD was that they don't expect to launch the upcoming Vega GPU architecture in 2016, which some people thought they might. It's going to be no sooner than 2017, and they you know, it should be either first half or second half. Knowing AMD, I would think they'd push it back to the second half. But
I kind of think it'll come first half.
I don't know. They have a
That's how Polaris did. It was. Yeah. I bet it comes same time of year that Polaris came.
It's just they have so much going on with Zen coming out. It's just a lot of stuff, and they're making the custom SoCs for Microsoft and Sony. For the consoles, so there's a lot going on. But the thing that's interesting,
you just hire more people.
AMD is not making a lot of money right now. The thing that's super interesting about this is that they don't plan on making any more larger or bigger GPUs based on the existing Polaris architecture. So they're not going to have a competing product to the 1070 and 1080. There will be no competing product, at least up until sometime in 2017, which
good.
Pretty much makes NVIDIA the only player in the high-end market.
That's good, though. I think it's good for AMD. I think it would be a waste of resources at this point. You're playing catch-up. Just move to that next card series and go from there.
Yeah,
and that's why I think it'll be like early to mid early, like the first third of the year of 2017, I would say, right?
Okay,
that's what I think. And Zen will be pushed out. Yeah, I think that's good for them.
Yeah, I just think that it's
if they wait too long, they can't let NVIDIA launch again or before them again next year. I don't think they can't afford to.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that they're like, okay, we just can't compete. Why don't we put our resources towards the next thing? You know what I mean? Because normally they'd be like, okay, we're going to push something out anyways, even though it's not going to compete or it's going to be late or whatever.
It's just a bodge, though. It's not a good product. It's just like, it's what they can come up with, but it's not really competitive. It's just something to say we have this instead. And that's stupid, I think. I think it's a waste of money on their side, and it probably doesn't make them back the money that they needed to.
Exactly.
So I think this is smart on their part. They're doing so many smart things.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it seems wrong, sort of in a way, what they're doing, but they're smart moves.
Yeah.
So they're playing a much more future based game. Like they're working on multiple steps ahead.
They're doing a marathon instead of a sprint.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So I like it. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens in the GPU world in 2017. So.
Yeah. And they're just going to make tons of money in the mid to low end. That's the way they set themselves up.
And like they do have a lot of money coming in from those SoC deals with the consoles as well.
Yeah.
Sure. So yeah.
Because the new consoles they're outfitting, right?
Yep. Both of them. So. Good. So yeah.
Good.
So talking about AMD and also Intel, both Intel's Kaby Lake processors as well as AMD's Summit Ridge and Bristol Ridge processors will only receive support from Microsoft on Windows 10. That's it.
That's
Microsoft really wants to make a big deal, and they said they won't. Earlier this year, they said they will not provide support to users of upcoming processors on older Windows systems. So if you're like Derek and you still run Windows 7...
I don't have 7 on anything anymore.
Oh, you're finally all on 10.
Yeah, I've been on since they cut it off. I upgraded.
Okay, good. So if you are on 7 and plan to upgrade your hardware, I don't know why you wouldn't do a fresh install and just install Windows 10, but
I do.
If you not you, I'm just saying
7 is no, but 7 is much lighter. That's why you would do it.
Yeah. If you happen to upgrade to Kaby Lake or Zen, you won't have all of the features of the operating system. So if you're running like Windows 7, it's only going to run in compatibility mode. So all of the new features and instruction sets and everything that these new processors have, they're not going to work on the old operating system. So that basically cuts off PC enthusiasts from using older versions of Windows, which is smart on Microsoft's part, I would say, because they want more people on Windows 10 anyways.
Yeah, so they can take over the world.
yes.
I don't know what to say about this. I think that it's taking the PC, which was this beautiful open project, right? You could do all kinds of stuff with, and it's just closing it down. And Windows was always the one, you know, we're the anti Mac, you know.
Yeah,
we're open to everyone. We're good to go. And now they're just, we want to be more like Mac now.
Kind of, sort of.
It's basically exactly what they're doing.
Yeah. So if you plan to upgrade, know that you'll need Windows 10 to fully have all the features that your processor has on both Intel and AMD side.
That is, I guess, the big takeaway.
Yes.
Know what you're getting into. It's so lame, though.
I mean, yeah.
Who cared?
I think it's a big support issue. I mean, they have to direct resources for support for the product and do all this stuff. And they're saying, this is an old product. We're not going to support it. You know, here's their... I mean, they already had the cutoff date for support on certain things. That's kind of what they're doing. And, you know, and they did offer the upgrade for free. You know, so if you wanted to upgrade, you should have got on the upgrade thing.
You still can, can't you?
Yeah, there's a loophole, but
yeah.
So I mean, that's what I mean. It's like people can't be all that mad because they're giving you an operating system for free. You know.
Well, yeah, sort of.
Yeah, sort of. But yeah, so
yes, they're building. They're giving you a free backdoor into your system.
Yeah. So. it's not a huge deal because everything I run is on Windows 10 now.
It's nothing. It's just I know that there's enthusiasts out there that aren't. There's nothing about Windows 10 that they care about, right? There's no feature on it that does anything for them because they're the hardcore overclocker, basically hardcore overclockers. Maybe some software guys too, some programmers, and there's just nothing to Windows 10 that they possibly need. It's got, in fact, it's got instructions running in the background that are worse for them. They've got slimmed down versions of Windows 7 set to go for what they need to do. and now they can't get into these new chipsets and these new chips because, well, it won't run right.
Yeah. Well, don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I guess.
No, I know what you're saying.
Part of the market, but it makes me sad.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying, and you know, we can't help. We can't. You know, there's nothing we can do about it, which kind of sucks. But I mean, if you want to run on Linux or something else, they will support it. So
yeah.
So yeah. So, talking about Intel, they launched their first 7th generation Core processors. These are only the 4.5 watt to 15 watt mobile processors. Pretty much everything that's going to be in laptops they launched.
Yeah.
So, pretty much, and this is not high-end laptops or anything, or even mainstream laptops. This is 2-in-1s, ultra-thin notebooks, things like that. You know, not a whole lot. And for all of us desktop guys that are waiting for Kaby, like, this isn't it. This isn't that launch. It's the mobile launch. That's usually what Intel does. They launch a mobile product first. So they officially launched that. Core i3, Core i5, and Core i7 low power processors in the Core M3 new processor was launched as well. And these are all, again, super low power stuff you'd find from 2-in-1s up to lower end laptops, you know. But it's good. It's good that Kaby Lake is here in this form, which means we're just getting closer and closer to the desktop launch. That's what everybody else, all of us desktop guys, are waiting for. And it's possible that we could see the desktop launch in December, which would be interesting. Ooh. Right in time.
Earlier than we thought, right?
Yes. So we thought they were to arrive in 2017, but the latest rumor says we could see them a little bit sooner. Ooh,
that's interesting, actually. And
this leak was pretty spot on because this leak came out earlier in the week, and they said we could see low-power chips in September, and they launched August 30th. You know, and so the mainstream desktop parts in December, which would be cool, right in time for holiday season, right in time to have a big thing at CES showing off all of the desktop stuff, which would be cool.
Yeah. I don't think you have it in the news here either, but there was actually somebody at Intel slipped up when they were benching one of the new 7700K.
Mm-hmm.
And
I did see that.
They left their internet connection on. What were they running? Was it Sansa?
Yeah, Sandra.
Yeah, and and so it posted to the public, what would you say, leaderboards or whatever?
Yes.
From the benchmark. So, yeah, we've actually got results from that. So it's a finished product.
Yeah, actually. It's a finished product. The motherboards pretty much are done, too.
Yeah, which is the Z270?
Right? Hold on. All right. Yes, I believe so.
I know it's 200.
Yeah, it's 200 series. So 200 series motherboards are all but done as well. Okay. So again, it's just all when Intel wants to launch this, pretty much.
I see this as a total response to Zen. When has Intel ever launched anything early?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, never. They have never had to do anything.
You are correct.
Getting a little nervous over there.
I know, right?
That's so exciting. I want Intel to get beat so bad, and then this will
the competition.
So much fun.
The competition means we could possibly get products faster and more innovation. You know what I mean?
We'll get much bigger leaps.
Yeah. So
this is something that's been missing since like Pentium.
Yeah, pretty much since Pentium. Since Pentium 4. Yeah, since I was gonna say Pentium 4.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it's interesting. We'll see, and we'll obviously let you guys know when Kaby Lake desktop processors will arrive. As soon as we know, as soon as we're allowed to tell you, we will tell you. So yeah, pretty exciting next couple months, I would say.
Absolutely.
One thing that was announced this week, which I thought was one of the coolest things I've seen in a long time, I would love to see it in person, is Acer announced the world's first curved screen notebook. So it is a curved screen gaming notebook. It is the Predator 21 X gaming laptop. It looks badass.
It's a beast. Yeah,
it's 21 inch IPS display, just awesome.
It's got a palm rest.
It's a big, so this is a total desktop replacement, obviously. Yeah. It has a lot of cool stuff. So it has the eye tracking technology.
That's gonna be such a game changer.
Yeah.
It works so well too.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff that's built into this. It has dual GTX 1080s inside. They're in SLI.
Really?
The screen has
the full card too, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
The screen has G-Sync. It's a G-Sync screen. You know, it has four speakers, two subwoofers inside. Dolby three-way audio. It has a mechanical keyboard with Cherry MX switches. RGB backlit, obviously. Like, this is the...
I'm about to trade my desktop in.
Yeah.
I know that's blasphemy.
I mean, this thing is... It looks awesome. It looks badass.
The cooling system that they have displayed and the graphic looks legit.
Yeah. This looks like... I would say this is on par, if not better, than the Asus one that you hook up to liquid cooling.
The ROG. I think it's an ROG one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an ROG one. I can't think of the name. But this was one of the coolest things I saw launched this week.
It's a 27-inch screen.
Though there's different versions. So there's a 27, there's a 24.5. And then there's another 27.
Yeah, the 27 curved.
Yes.
Which is 1080p, 144 hertz. And then 24.5 is flat. It's 1080p, but it's 240 hertz. And then there's a
27 flat. Oh, no, those are just the monitors. I'm sorry. So they also...
Oh, those are just monitors?
Those are just monitors, yeah. The actual...
so big.
Yeah, the actual laptop is 21. Okay. I read that too, and I wasn't sure. But that's just part of the press release because they also, launched the new monitors that have the eye tracking built in. Announced those. So those are their Predator monitors, which are also super popular with gaming because they're made again specifically for gaming. And so that's, man, this thing. I want this thing.
Dude, I'm serious too. I don't know if you were there, but I don't know if you saw the eye tracking. Technology we saw at CES, was that 2 years ago or last year? I don't remember. It worked then, and it was pretty much just a demo, and it worked well. Basically, you can move around the screen with your eyes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like yes, that's one of those things that you've always wanted to do,
and that's built into the laptop now.
Yes.
And again, you have dual GTX 1080s and a laptop. Oh man. Yeah, I want this thing. Like, I just want this thing. So the refreshed Predator 17 will be available in September with prices starting at $1,700.
That's really not even that bad.
That's probably a super low configuration.
Oh, the 970 version?
I'm not sure.
I think I saw that in the press release.
Yeah. So I would say the most decked out version, you're looking at 2,500.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. Which, but still,
isn't even horrible.
I would like to see how this does. A curved screen. I would want to play on this before I bought it. But
that's not really like that's one you want to try before you buy, I guess.
Yeah. So that is one of the coolest things I saw launched. Also, talking about monitors, LG announced the world's largest ultra-wide gaming monitors this week. So IFA was this week, which is in Berlin. So a lot of cool stuff was announced by major companies.
Yeah.
These bigger, bigger companies. So they announced a 38-inch ultra-wide curved monitor, which is their 38 UC99. And a 144 hertz IPS 21:9 aspect ratio curved ultra-wide gaming monitor, which is their 34 UC97G. And these are huge.
It's a pretty cool concept, though. I like the 144 hertz IPS.
Yeah.
And curved.
Yeah.
Maybe. What resolution are they running?
The these model numbers are so hard. The 38UC99 is the it's IPS ultra wide. It's QHD plus, which is 3840 × 1600.
Nice.
And the second one it's the world's first 144 hertz IPS 21.9 curved ultra wide gaming monitor. It's the 34UC79G. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And it has. I'm trying to read through this. It does not say.
Oh, that was a. It's a 34 inch.
I would assume by the So one's 38, one's 34.
Okay.
It's just, that's still huge.
That'd be a fun monitor to game on, honestly.
Yes. So this one supports AMD FreeSync, the 34.
I wonder if they're gonna do an NVIDIA model.
Yeah, it all depends. I don't. A lot of these companies have like contracts with each one, so they only build for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
It's weird that it doesn't have the resolution for the
34.
Yeah.
It's 144 hertz. I wonder if they couldn't do better than 1080 vertical.
I don't know.
I would think they would list it otherwise.
Yeah.
It's if it's not listed, it's probably nothing to brag about.
Yeah. But anyways, both monitors, they're sexy as hell. I would love to have either of these on my desk. For sure.
Yeah, I think we've said it. We both said it before, but like, need a curved monitor. Just gotta get there.
Yeah. Oh man.
It's tough. The tough part about monitor upgrades is that, at least for me, is that like I have legit monitors.
Yeah. So do I.
So like I don't have a real reason other than these monitors are better. And then what do I do with my old monitors? You know.
Yeah, because I have a set of 24s. For like my main work system where I do work and write reviews and do all that. And then right behind me, I have a 1080p screen and a 4K screen for video game testing. So it's like, what do I do with these two 24s?
Yeah.
That are nice.
If you replaced them, what on earth would you do with them? Yeah.
Yeah. These are nice Asus monitors. Like they're
1080p.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like really the reality is that like they're not worth very much.
Yeah, they're not.
1080p monitors are worth no more than like $100.
Yeah, so it's like, and the thing is, if I'm upgrading, I'm either going to do a single curved with a super high resolution, or like two 4K screens. So like, even now, like the 4K screens are kind of expensive.
Yeah, but they've come down a lot, actually.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna wait.
If for like $400 or less, you can get a decent one.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna wait another year, but still, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, that was my point. Like. It's tough because there's not a real obvious like upgrade path, I guess.
Yeah, there really is not at all. Yeah.
Now, if you were running something like, if I had like a single like 20-inch 1080p, that'd be a no-brainer, you know.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I'd go and I'd buy a curved monitor, but
yeah. So yeah. It's weird. So also at IFA, HP. They announced some new stuff, but the thing that really caught my attention was their new Pavilion Wave. And this is a very interesting product because it's sort of cylindrical, but it's a full PC cylindrical. Kind of taking a note out of Apple's, Mac Pro. This thing is super cool. And it's really cool to see big companies jumping on this smaller PC idea, but still, being able to be a functional full PC for most people.
It reminds me a lot because it's a tri-sided design. It reminds me, what was that company?
MSI.
MSI
had one of these at CES.
Yeah, but this company, they were really small form factor. And they were like all aluminum. I visited their booth 2 years ago.
Not sure.
They've disappeared since then. They're like little modular, like they clipped into each other on the sides, right?
I think I know who you're talking about, but I can't even remember their name.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were way too. It wasn't there yet.
Yeah, and it was like a whole new direction of PC, kind of.
Yeah.
Like,
so
yes, it was upgradable, but. No, there was no other like parts available.
Yeah, so this is, again, this won't be upgradable per se, but it's cool to see traditional big companies, HP, embracing different form factors for a functional PC. We do, you know, HP, Asus, they all make these like little boxes, but mm-hmm. those little boxes aren't meant to do much.
They absolutely won't do much
either. Yeah. This is meant to do more than you think. It supports up to two 4K displays, has mm-hmm. USB 3.0, USB 3.1 type C.
Does that mean Thunderbolt?
I'm not sure if it's the Thunderbolt one.
Okay. The two 4K displays makes me think Thunderbolt.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
Okay.
You know, through that port. You know, it has currently 6th generation Core i7 quad core processor in there, so you have a lot of speed there. You can do 2 terabyte hard drive, or you can do optional dual drive with a 128 gigabyte SSD in there. You have 16 gigabytes of DDR4. I mean, it's a good system, and you can even add Radeon R9 M470, which isn't the best. Like, you're not going to play games on this thing, but no. it still makes it.
You could probably do some Photoshop stuff with it.
Yeah, so I think the form factor is the thing that gets me on this, and that big companies like HP are embracing this form factor.
It's good to see HP just making something that looks good.
Yeah, it does look good. I would not mind having this on my desk.
No. I'd be a little embarrassed to tell my PC friends about it, but it would look good still.
Yeah, for sure. So also talking about another big launch, and I think you might like this. Our good friends at Lenovo revealed the Yoga Book Convertible, and they touted it as the world's thinnest and lightest 2-in-1 tablet designed for unmatched productivity while on the go. And the thing that's super interesting about it, no keyboard. No what? Physical keyboard. So what they have is it's actually a touchpad a touchpad with a stylus, but you can use it as a keyboard. It's called the Halo keyboard. So it kind of there's no physical keyboard, but it's a touchpad, and it will illuminate as a keyboard on there when you want it to be a keyboard, but it's like touching a tablet.
Now, keyboard. Not the first time something like this has been done. Necessarily, but I'm really curious. This is Lenovo. It's probably pretty flawless.
I would love to type on it.
Yeah.
I have to see how I would type on this, but I think it's super cool. I think a lot of people nowadays are used to typing on tablets. Like, maybe we don't use tablets as much, but I know so many people that do use tablets, and they're used to typing on that. So the big thing with me is being productive in everything. I need, I don't know, tactile feedback is a big thing for me. And just not having that, and like typing a letter or typing an email is kind of weird.
Think banging on glass would do it for you?
I need to type on it for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
But this thing is awesome. It is when it's closed, fully closed, it is only 9.6 millimeters thick, and it weighs only 690 grams, which is 1.52 pounds. It's tiny.
Both the thickness and the weight can thank that lack of a keyboard.
Yes, and it's a 10.1 inch IPS screen.
Nice.
Pretty awesome.
Does it say the resolution?
It is FHD, which is full HD, so 1080p.
Okay. Usually, I wonder if they'll have a higher resolution version.
Yeah, it's only, and this is like, again, this is made for 2-in-1. It's not made to be super high, you know, powerful or anything. So it'll be $499 in October, and that is without Windows. With Windows, it's $549.
What does it next come year... without Windows then?
What?
What? So they just send you an operating system list book, or what does it say? Oh, it says it has Android.
Yeah, I guess you could run Chrome OS or Android. You can put whatever you want on it.
Okay, I've not seen a notebook sold without Windows, is all.
Yeah, this could be like a little hacking book. It can be, there's a lot of stuff you could probably do with it. So just an extra $50 to get Windows if you want it.
Yeah.
But still, really cool.
Yeah, that's neat.
I think it's one of the first times we've seen something like this in a real product. It does have that hinge, too, that can fully flip back and do all that.
I actually love their hinge, too. Not just the fact that it fully flips back. The design of it seems a lot more robust than a lot of other hinges.
Yeah, it's very well done, and they've worked on it for the past 5 years now, I think.
Yeah,
so it's been really refined.
Yep.
So, on to Corsair. And yeah. Corsair, I don't know if direction. Yeah, I don't know if it officially launched. I saw Tweaktown has a review of it. Photos of it were leaked too, so I assume it's been announced, but we didn't get any official announcement of it. Corsair is releasing a update or a new case in their Air series. So the Air 540, which we did review, was a great case. It is that dual chamber design. So yeah. On one side, you have maybe like your motherboard and your graphics cards, and on the other side you have your power supply and anything else, you know. So that was the 540, and now they have a larger version, which is the 740. It supports up to extended ATX motherboards, tons of storage, long graphics cards. There's room for radiators, I think 360s in the front, in the top, tons of room in there.
To be honest, this is a good looking case.
Nice and big, dual chamber. It looks to have the same door that was on their newer cases we reviewed. It works flawlessly and it looks really great too. Nice. So they've incorporated some stuff from their other cases into this. No word yet on pricing, anything like that. I assume at least over in Europe it's been launched, because the leaked photos come from a online store, and obviously Tweaktown is based in Asia. So if they were able to release the review, it should be out. But when we get official, I can check my email right now and see if I got a press release, but I don't believe I did.
It's a good looking case. It looks like it's got tons of room. I actually think it looks, being the water cooler, I think it looks like a really fun air cooled build. You put a massive Noctua air cooler in there or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of room to do pretty much whatever you want in this, and that's what I like about it. So. Talking about cooling, one thing. We don't talk about a lot of product launches, but I thought you would find this one pretty interesting. Arctic announced their Liquid Freezer 360. So they had their 120 and 240. Obviously, that's the size of the radiator. 360 is the 360 version. But the thing that's interesting, and this is a segment first, meaning they're the first company to do this, is they don't just provide three fans with it. They provide six.
So
you can do perfect push-pull.
Unique.
Yeah. Sweet. And I don't know the price on this yet. I couldn't find it online. But it'll be interesting to see the price difference to other 360 millimeter radiator all-in-one units out there. Just because it does come with six fans. Now, if they keep it in the same price range, I think that's a win for them. Adding three more fans to a radiator is obviously going to have it cool much better.
Yeah, it should be a good jump in performance. It looks like it's just a standard Asetek design. I mean, it's the same exact mounting system we've seen on tons of Asetek radiators and pumps. It looks like it's just the regular old little hockey puck size pump with a new shroud on it. That looks good. The nice thing is that it's Arctic, so you actually get MX4 thermal paste with it.
Yeah. That's a nice thing, and obviously the extra fans.
Six fans is good too.
Yeah. The only thing I feel about this is somebody's going to buy this and they're not going to have a case that supports push-pull.
Yeah, it's going to be too thick for it.
Yeah, that's the only downside I see to this. But it's great that, you know, companies are realizing, okay, somebody who wants extreme performance, because this is rated for 300-watt.
Yeah,
so that's a lot too cool.
That actually should be like a pretty substantially overclocked chip.
Yeah. So I think that's super cool. I think it's cool that companies are finally saying, okay, you know, you want to do push pull, we're gonna include it with our product.
Yep.
Also, we didn't really talk about it in the news that much on the site, but Battlefield 1 was released this week. Or the beta's going on, I'm sorry.
It's active right now.
Yeah. I downloaded it. I have not played it. Have you played it?
No.
Are you going to play it?
I'm a little afraid. I've heard nothing but good things, though. I sometimes don't like playing betas.
I like to play betas just to... finish product. Well, yeah, but I want to make my purchase based on...
Having played it?
I have not played it yet. I plan to play it.
You want to make your purchase based on having actually played it?
Yes. Yeah. That made me buy Star Wars. Yeah. So, and that made me buy a lot of games, actually, because it's just a good... You get a feel of it, and you know, and you should know, you should be smart enough to know it's not a completed product yet, so if there are issues, you know they're going to be... You, I mean, they're not always all fixed, but
yeah, but they should be. It can be so much of a turn-off.
Oh, I just see you just got on Origin. Are you going to download it?
Why are you telling everyone what I'm doing?
See? Yeah. There you go. So, yeah, I plan to play it... Sunday. I believe the beta's still going on. I would hope the beta's still going on Sunday. I would assume beta's going on all through Labor Day weekend.
Too, Labor Day?
Yeah, I
think. That's probably when I'd have the best chance of being able to actually sit down and...
Yeah, we should, hold on. Let's see here.
This is a quick download.
Oh, it can't be that quick. It's like 30 gigs. Like
15 minutes.
You have some fast internet.
Dude, I'm getting... It's not even that coming down that fast. It says it's only 7 gigs, is it?
Hold on. I don't know.
Yeah. That's pretty small.
So Battlefield 1 beta. Let me see.
I'm in game in 13 minutes.
Oh, you're ready to go then. Maybe I'll play later. I might play tonight, actually.
That's
if
possible.
If you are going to be home, I'll play tonight.
That's possible. I got to run and do something. And maybe we'll actually play some video games.
Yeah. It doesn't say the end date. It says August 30th was for insiders, and then August 31st was the official launch, but it doesn't say when, how long it's going to be. Because I'm going out of town tomorrow for the day, so I will not be here, and I don't plan on getting back till late, so I'm not going to come home and play it. But I don't have anything planned for Sunday, and I would love to play it all day Sunday.
Yeah. It was actually, the end date is actually a recommended search. So yeah. I wonder if a lot of people are wondering this.
Yeah, so who knows? But if you do want to check out Battlefield 1 open beta, if you go to battlefield.com, Battlefield 1, oh, I just had it up. Man, I'm just like not doing good today. If you go to battlefield.com/beta, you can see where you can download it, or you can just open, if you have Origin, you'll have to get Origin. But if you already have Origin, you can just open it up and it should be... It should have a thing for it.
It's well advertised.
Yeah, it's well advertised on Origin Client. So get in and tell us how you like it. I'm going to play. I'll play tonight with you if you want to play.
Yeah.
If you're going to be around.
I'll check if I'm allowed and then, we'll see.
If you're allowed. Oh, man.
That married life.
Yeah. Coming up next week, we have some cool stuff. We have one of the... I haven't tested it yet, so I can't tell you if it is the best, but it is... Has everything.
Yeah.
It is the MSI X99A X Power Gaming Titanium. This motherboard is sick. Dude, it literally has everything you would want in an X99 board.
Can I have it?
Sure. Actually, I shouldn't say that. So then you'll be like, You remember when you said that?
It's on the podcast.
it's
so sexy.
It's the PCB is titanium, not made of titanium, but it has that look.
Yeah.
It looks awesome. Has everything. It has 32 gigabit M.2 slot, 32 gigabit U.2 slot, USB 3.1 Gen 2 type A and C ports, Intel Gaming LAN. It has their Audio Boost 3. There's so much stuff. It has 802.11 AC Wi-Fi. I mean, there's just so much stuff. All of the RAM slots and PCI Express slots and the M.2 slots are all steel plated and protected.
Shielded,
it's just
yeah
steel shielded. Like, it's just awesome. It has
RGB LEDs.
I think it does, but I haven't turned it on
real?
Yet.
I was joking. I didn't think it would.
I think the MSI Dragon logo on the heatsink actually lights up. I'm going down. I would think they would have it gaming hockey. They don't have it advertised, so possibly not.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's not one that I would have expected simply because the color scheme is like.
Yeah,
like
it, I will definitely let you know. I will be installing it later today. So,
gotcha.
But it has everything. It has voltage checkpoints. It has dip switches. It is an X Power board, so the X Powers are their high end overclocking boards too. So it has dip switches for the PCI Express slot. So if you're doing any GPU overclocking, you can just flip the switch instead of taking your card out. Like I said, it does have the voltage checkpoints. It has. It has the
10-pin power for the CPU.
Yeah, it has the extra 4-pin for the CPU.
Or 12, actually.
Or yeah, it has the extra 4-pin. Yeah, it has volt or frequency change buttons on the board itself. So if you want to do any frequency changing on the fly as far as your CPU goes, you can do that. It has everything. I don't know what it wouldn't have.
And it's EATX at least, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Very wide board.
It's either EATX or whatever, XLETX or the, what is it, CBB something.
I've never gone there, I don't know.
Yeah. but yeah, it's one of those three. I'm sorry I can't tell you. But it has everything. This board's awesome. So super excited. Definitely stay tuned for that next week. We'll be doing a sort of follow-up review to our review of the Crucial MX300. They initially launched with a 750 gigabyte version. This is their first drive that uses the new 3D NAND, which a lot of companies are using. Not a lot, but a few. It's a big deal. And they initially launched with a 750 gigabyte version. They have a 525, and now they have a 1050, or was it one
terabyte?
Essentially 1 terabyte. So they sent us the 525 and 1 terabyte, so we'll be testing those and putting it all together in one big review for you, so you can see the performance difference, if there is any,
across the different storage types.
And finally, I'll be taking a look at Fractile Designs Define Nano S, and this is super cool because this is a mini ITX case that is built to be like, to look like a full tower. Obviously, it's not that big. It's super small. But it gives you room for a lot of water cooling. It gives you room for long graphics cards. It gives you room for full-size power supply and all of that. It's just, it's that good. And it's made by Fractal Design. And just how I talked about the Cooler Master case, Fractal Design has always had high quality in their cases as well. So definitely stay tuned for that review as well. And that is pretty much it.
Sweet.
Yeah. Did you, you know, as we always say, if you did anything fun this week, did you do anything exciting?
I worked 52 hours.
you're supposed to say something exciting this end of the podcast.
No, I've been doing, not gaming-wise, but I've been doing a ton of cyclocross, if nobody knows what that is. Check it out. Cyclocross season is here. It's just a type of biking. Bike racing. Okay. It's really fun. Everyone should do it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Did
you ride on the boat a bit?
Yeah, I did a lot. I did a good amount of boating last week. You got to get it in. So I'm like trying to get in as much as I can, but not like not do work either. So I'm trying to, you know,
work is good.
Yeah, do both. So there's I have a lot of stuff going on, but yeah, a lot of boating, wakeboarding, stuff like that. I'll be doing that all day tomorrow as well. So,
oh, you know what I did? I think I missed talking about this because we missed a week. Obviously, we missed last week.
I didn't really say that at the beginning of the podcast, but we did miss last week.
But I saw what is it called? What movie is that?
I don't know. You tell me.
The food one.
The food that tells me nothing.
Yeah, no, it does. It's like the food is alive. It's animated. It's Seth Rogen.
Oh, Sausage Party. I also saw that.
Did you?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It was kind of funny.
I thought it was like okay when I was like when I walked out, but like thinking back, it had a lot of like funny things to like.
There's a lot of funny things in it. It's
altogether, it kind of like, I don't know, it kind of left me wanting more of a story, I guess, more something like the story.
Yeah,
didn't push me along very much, but like in retrospect, like talking to people who saw it, like going over scenes, it was like that was actually really funny.
Yeah, it's a lot of just pretty bad jokes. Not bad in the joke was like bad, but like jokes. Dirty jokes or every offensive dirty jokes. Yeah.
I swear it was like the South Park where they said shit however many times they did.
I don't watch South Park.
What?
I mean, I have, but it's not something long I watch. Ago. Yeah.
They like. Yeah. Oh, like 100 times.
I also well, two things I watch on Netflix. One was now I can't think of it because I thought of the other one. what's the movie that came out? Maybe you'll know about like the housing market crash in 2008.
Oh.
Yeah.
With yeah.
Yeah, with a bunch of people in it.
Yeah. Let's see what the internet thinks. Come on, Google, you can do it.
While
The Big Short.
Yeah, The Big Short. I thought that was really well done. It's interesting because you don't know why. Like, I had an idea of why things happened, but most Americans, I don't feel really even know what happened.
Not in detail.
I had no idea in detail
what happened.
Yeah. So that is a great movie to watch. It's a little over 2 hours long, so it's one of the ones, but it's really, really well done, and I thought that was really good. And then I watched it's a documentary on what's that guy's name? He's a DJ. Steve Aoki. It's called I'll Sleep When I'm Dead, and it's actually pretty cool because in my opinion I don't feel he's compared to other DJs in his same thing, I don't feel he's that great.
I totally agree with you.
But I like his story, and that makes me like him more. So it tells his story and how he became and is growing up and how his dad was super famous and all that kind of stuff, and how he grew up like listening to like punk and like hardcore music, and it's very interesting.
You can totally tell that from his music.
Yeah. So definitely, if you're into it, I think it's a good story. I think if you're into any type of documentary, you should watch it. It's pretty cool, especially somebody who's like kind of like on top of the world right now as far as DJing, because he is.
Yeah, regardless of what how you feel about his actual music, he does put on a really good show.
Yeah, so I think that's worth watching as well. So those are the two things I watched this week, and Sausage Party I also saw. So. So yeah, that is it, guys. As always, we will have a full show notes page that has everything that we're talking about. So as we go through and you're like...